I met my best friend, Myrtle Friedman, on a tree-lined street in small-town Idaho in the late 1970s. Myrtle was 80-ish years old, my senior, and lived alone, next door to our small family of four. Her two-story green stucco house was perched on the corner, just two blocks from Main Street. On a special Saturday, here and there, my family would arrange to let Myrtle back her vintage Cadillac out of the single-car garage and take it around the block with our dog, Sam, tucked in her lap. I took the back seat. It seemed reasonably safe. For 8-year-old me, reasonably safe was a big win. I always looked forward to those drives. It felt like a village coming together to honor freedom, even if that freedom unfolded on a single square block, unbothered with signage or sidewalks for that matter. During all the in-between days, I would tend to Myrtle's rhubarb, weed her vegetable garden, and listen to her tell stories in a stuffy living room that looked exactly like you might imagine it, dusty, patterned, and threadbare. But to my fresh eyes, it was grand as could be. For my chores, I got paid in hard candy, which I enjoyed as she told me about her life and shared her memories, good and bad. Myrtle had lived through both world wars and the Great Depression. In that room, I felt protected from the insecurity and chaos of my own house. Myrtle's simple care and concern, her willingness to engage and connect with me, not only eased my loneliness, it soothed my anxiety about the looming Cold War and all the other uncertainties in my life that left me in a constant state of unease and worry. After all, if Myrtle had found her way to the other side of 80, surely there was a bit of freedom for me to look forward to in life. Myrtle offered balance during that rocky time. She offered an emotional shelter and a familiar and safe space, at least before we were on the move again. I had lived in 23 different spaces over 6 states in 12 different towns and mid-sized cities by the time I went to college in 1990. My earliest years were spent bouncing from one public school to another across southern Idaho. Each one kept stunningly low standards for education, and moving so often meant I was a child left behind. It's a miracle I eventually learned to read, let alone write a book. Thanks to this rocky start, I developed a strong sense of justice and determined early on that nobody should suffer insecurity. I wanted everyone to have a safe home of their own. I wanted to build a life that could shelter others from adversity, even if I didn't know them, while at the same time maximizing safety and security for myself and those closest to me. I wanted to advance social justice, so I elected myself to do just that. Ever since choosing that path for my life, my journey has been rich, and my impact has too. Today, I have security in abundance, both personally and professionally. My nuclear family enjoys financial stability and, a personal dream, calls a safe and lovely house our home. With an eye toward helping others achieve the same, I started Flock, a family of real estate management companies that tends to well over $2 billion in property in Washington, D.C. We care for dignified and safe homes along with the residents who live in them. We embrace and contribute to our community as an act of justice. We put people and place over profit, and we soar. When I made the scary transition from employee to employer in 2008, I knew this social justice lens would light the path to traditional profitability.